listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Excited today to have one of the coolest accent on show. I think we are like 4 months, I think, and working every Monday. And I don't call this work, I call this my dream came true. And today we do not have Jonathan Todd with us because my dear husband is in Maui working again on a big project. He will be opening McFleetwood restaurant on Front Street and in Maui. Then everybody who is right now in Maui, please try to go and see the place. It will be open in 4 weeks, and I'm just very excited for my husband and everybody working there. And obvious, he is very, very busy and too busy for Accent On, but this is his problem because we don't miss my husband too much. Hi, Jonathan, I love you, but I don't miss you too much.
Hey, wait a minute, you miss me.
I cannot believe it. You did this to me.
What are you talking about? You don't miss me. Boy, I'm not in the studio, but I'm here.
Honey, I love you.
That's the only way. It's the only way I can talk to you, honey.
I got
to call in, and I got to get Ronan, the producers over there. They all got to do all kinds of secret stuff for me so I can get online. It's a busy line over there. Lots of people calling Accent On every day.
Okay, you made me really happy, okay? It's so funny. I got your little tiny message.
That was my hope. I'm hoping that you are a little happy.
That's very happy. I don't know how... do you have time to stay with us for a whole hour?
No, but I'm here to start the show off and say hello to everybody.
Okay, then
I'll be quiet and let you run the radio program.
Okay, we are very, very happy to have you here and your unusual sense of humor, which sometimes bugs me till death. And in a way, I was saying, yes, he's not here. I can like, just take over the show. But no, you are here, but, you know, and hopefully, you will not hurt my feelings too much. What do you think about that?
I hope Stephanie is there with you.
Stephanie?
No, I'm not here.
Oh, she's not here.
Not here.
Oh, that's too bad she's not there.
Yeah.
Nice to not talk with you, Stephanie.
Anytime.
And we have Fauna Hodel.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, Fauna. Last time I saw you, you were devouring a fine piece of steak.
Oh, it was yummy. Thank you for treating me.
And you know, it's so amazing, Jonathan. I wrote an email to Ian Iris, who was our guest, I think, 3 weeks ago. He's a really filmmaker and made a beautiful documentary about Tony Curtis, and he's making right now a Marilyn Monroe documentaries, and he will be judging Polish Film Festival in L.A. And you know, in funky way, 2 or 3 weeks later, I met Fauna, and we become like, I think, very fast friends. And she is just telling me that she knows Tony Curtis, and she was selling art, Tony's Curtis art. And I mentioned this to Ian, and Ian lives in France. And I said, Ian, you check this lady. He did, and he said, I would love to talk to her. And he will be calling us from Paris again, and we'll be talking about Tony Curtis. I think Ian has a book that he just released, and Fauna and Ian will become also friends, and they have so much in common, but I don't want to sell everything right now. I hope 6:20 will be having phone call from friends, and I have, of course, Domenico Capuano with us.
Hi!
Hey, Domenico Capuano.
Hi, Jonathan.
Can mongerete. Me can sene, amore.
Hey, I love you.
I love you too.
Miss you.
Oh, we miss you, honey.
I miss you too. But mostly I miss Portia.
Yeah, I know.
Portia is a dog that Jonathan just bought himself and replaced me so fondly, whatever say. And he just is not about me anymore. He's about kisses from Portia. And what can I say? And I'm happy he replaced me for the dog, not for another blonde girl. But that's, you know, then we are fine with that. We love Portia.
Actually, Portia is another blonde girl. She just got an extra set of legs.
Oh, she's a girl. This is your imaginary girlfriend that you never could have. The gorgeous young and just she loves you and kiss you and hugs you and always say, I don't want to say she, but she likes to roll over.
Oh, it's awkward.
Yeah. I made a Stephanie
Little. Accent On has made it to multiple continents and islands. You got one party on Accent in the most remote island chain in the world. There's nothing further away from land anywhere on the planet than Hawaii.
And what
and
are you doing there?
And you got France coming on, and you got Italy in the studio, and you got the East Coast represented by Stephanie,
what?
And you got Poland represented by you. That's a heck of an accent. By the way, you've got an accent.
I have an accent, and I'm cherishing my accent. I will never get rid of, even if I tried. I don't know how to. And also, I think we'll be having Julia Gale. She will stop by with amazing British accent. She will come for a second to say hi. She's also a friend with Fauna, and I think we are just doing very, very well. Right now. Then, I think we have a guest, and I think I would like to give Fauna time to just shine, okay? And we want to really know a lot about her. And I will say what I love about Fauna. When I met her first, I fell in love with her energy. Everybody says about me this, oh, you are so energetic, so positive. But Fauna is like me, except she has very dark past. And she's a lady who just decided to turn what was her amazing childhood and, youth, very scared, very dark, very unusual, into something really great, positive. And she's doing the best with it. And I just will say, Fauna.
Hello there.
I call you Fauna Hodel. Is this a right way or is better way?
Fauna. I am Fauna Hodel.
Oh gosh, I almost got a hotel. The phone I still
have. Fauna, you've got a beautiful radio voice, Fauna.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
And we'll talk about this because Fauna has her own radio show. Maybe we'll start,
Yes. Fauna's Charity Sizzle Report.
One second, my husband is busy. Can you turn off your phone?
Oh, it just goes on all day. We'll just ignore it right now, okay?
Yeah, but we cannot. Please kill this.
Sorry, I don't know how to kill it. It's a hotel.
Then go to bathroom. We cannot have a radio with this ringing.
Well, okay. Funny story.
I'll go ahead and mute myself. You know what? I'm going to sign off right now, but I'm going to listen live on latalkradio.com or on my iPhone app as I make my way over to the restaurant. So I'm going to wish everybody a wonderful show. And I love you all, and I wish I was there, and I'm sure I'll see you very soon. Thank you, everybody.
Aloha.
See you. See you.
I'm Aloha. So happy to hear your voice, and I love you so much. I will be talking probably like at 3 in the morning, huh?
Talk to you in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Okay.
Love you, everybody.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye. Bye. See you. Bye.
Okay. I'm coming back to Fauna. Fauna.
Funny.
Just please, we'll come back to your radio show. We'll come back to what you're doing right now, but bring us back to what was your childhood.
Yes.
Like.
First of all, I'm 60 years old. I'm really
no, you're not.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's okay. I was given away at birth. Arrangements were made prior to my birth. 1951. I am a light-skinned person, Caucasian, being given away at birth to a black family under the pretense that I was biracial. Given away to a black maid and a black shoeshine man in a gambling casino. That time in Reno, Nevada, growing up in pre-civil rights energy, take it on, you know, that was pretty intense. The couple that took me in thought that one day I'd darken. I wrote a book, One Day She'll Darken, The Mysterious Beginnings of Fauna Hodel.
It never happened. You're still beautiful, very fair skin, beautiful teeth, really nice smile. You are just, you're very light skin lady, but you didn't darken.
Well, no, and I would later find out that, you know, it was all made up. I was given away due to an incest trial. The story's way complicated. Way complicated.
I really would love to focus one day on this story because you don't even need to write a book. Your life is a book. Okay. Very unusual book, a lot of turns. But okay. I say, we can say bye-bye and start buying tickets to the movie already, whatever. You set us up on some unusual, you know, life story that nobody believes can happen, well, but it really happened to you. Was your... Okay, it seems like unusual, but you were having not too happy a childhood.
Well, I actually was blessed and protected. No matter how bizarre it was, I learned how to lean on angels early on. I knew I came into that particular life knowing that there was a purpose. I was, as they would say, an old soul. I understood my energy from a long time ago. When I was 5 years old, sitting at my grandmother's funeral, my black grandmother, she started talking to me from her casket, and I was told that there was a plan for me, and I believed it. So I've sort of lived my life in that metaphysical realm. So no matter how ignorant it was, because I was living in a time in America where white people treated me like I lived 50s. With cockroaches. Black people treated me like I was the alien, and that's when I learned how to lean on angels, because I knew that one day I was going to grow up and help wake people up. 8 years old, I decided I was going to do a film. Saw a film, Imitation of Life, Lana Turner, classic, all about race relations. I sat there in that movie that day and vowed I'd grow up and do a movie. And I did produce a movie, Ilona. I did, with Alfred Woodard, Charles Dutton, Jill Clayburgh, Tess Harper, Allison Elliott. We had to change all the names to protect the guilty. My grandfather was part of Old Hollywood, part of the Black Dahlia case. It just goes on and on and on. So fast forward, I'm working on developing a long-running television series with everything that happened to me.
You know, you are going almost too fast forward with everything what you're saying, because every second of our conversation, I want to say, stop, impossible, tell me more how this could be. Okay, what I want to know more, and I don't want to be a downer in a way, I know, again, you are so positive, you are just a wonderful, optimistic human being, and you have so much going on in your life, and yeah, you turn your unusual a life story into, I don't know, lesson for a lot of people, and hopefully your movie, that's what will be become, you know, lesson about past, today, and the future, and how unusual situation in life can turn people into being who you are right now, you know, and doing so much good in life, and for yourself, and for others, and we'll talk about this also. Okay, but your teen, how you were when you were 12, 13, 14, because, again, dating, you know, you were a white girl in a black society.
Right.
You were accepted in a way because you felt like you're outcasted, but you never really focused on that. You know,
It was always an issue to pretend that it wasn't. No, I got married when I, imagine, pregnant, 15 years old, had my first daughter when I was 16, August 1st. She was born August 7th. She is a biracial child. Her father was a black man. And no, I dealt with a lot of ignorance. It was very painful.
Did you have like moment of happiness when you were pregnant and you had the gentleman who you had child with? Was he even present, or you really decided and you needed to raise your child on your own?
No, he was a good guy. You know, that's why I got married when I was old. I mean, imagine 15 years old.
I always, but my mom was 16 years old when she got married. She was in Poland, and she lived, you know, almost 50 years with my father, and there was the most beautiful couple. I remember myself being 12, 13. I always wanted to be married young too, and I always was angry that I cannot be married younger than 16.
Right.
I got married when I was 18. Yeah. I had my child when I was 18, my first child, and I can say this is not the right way of you know, creating your life for special for young girls. And you said 15 years old girl, you were in Nevada, yes?
Yes, I got married to escape home. My mom, who raised me, was a town drunk. I don't care what color she was, a drunk is a drunk is a drunk. Yeah. So I needed to escape that world and create my own world. And my daughter is now almost 44, blessed and beautiful.
Beautiful.
And then I have a blonde, blue-eyed daughter from a different father who's 11 years younger. So I'm all about the color of love.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Really unusual. And again, we'll give people your Facebook link, which is also on Accent on Facebook. But you can check, your daughters are just gorgeous,
oh,
you know,
you.
And
inside out.
It's just amazing looking girls. And okay, then coming back to it, you said 15 years old, you have a baby, you have a mother who likes to drink, and I know that she had moments, because I saw a little bit part of your movie that you created how many years ago?
Well, it was stopped in 1991. Yeah. Alfre Woodard played my mom, and it was the scene you saw.
Yes.
It was very intense, because first of all, it was a love-hate relationship. My mother loved me because I was her baby, but she hated me because I was white. I was everything she wanted to be, and it was that time in America where black and white was all stupid and upside down, and I loved her because she was my mom. Oh. Yeah, but
was she violent sometimes?
Well, yeah, she was a drug. She was in and out of jail. It's not a Shirley Temple story, or maybe it was a Shirley Temple story.
Different Shirley. Yeah, I saw this little part of the movie, and title for the movie was, because people can check on YouTube.
Right, yes, could you? Right, absolutely. Pretty Hattie's Baby. It initially was called Waiting for the Angels, and we had to change we went through Arizona Missions, and we had to change the names to protect the guilty. As I said, my grandfather was part of old Hollywood and a lot of cover-ups and stuff.
You know, and again, life works very unusual ways, because when I met you, like I mentioned, I had an interview with Ian. Ian just did a gorgeous, a very unusual movie about Tony Curtis, and he mentioned also, you know, situation, his childhood, him being also abused child, and then him getting out of Tony Curtis, trying to be successful human being, which he of course was, and we all love him, and he's a just gorgeous man. But I start reading bios and interviews with Ian, and then I see the similarity between your life and his life, you know. And then I talked to Ian. I said, Ian, you know, I will be having Fauna in my show, and she knew Tony Curtis, and I hope Ian will be calling in 5 minutes, and you both probably will give us some little bit unusual maybe stories of you from how you really met him, what you were doing. You know him very well, Tony.
Yes.
You knew him very well. And I'm sure you bring something that Ian never knew. And who knows, maybe we'll be having another part of the documentary. There will be another, you know, Tony Curtis from your point of view. Who knows? Okay. Well, but Ian, if you are listening, in friends, if you are up, because I think it's 3 in the morning, and then please, we have like 4 minutes, and I hope you can make it and you can call us. But coming back to Fauna. Okay, right now, your life, you have so much going on for you. Yes, you are creating a dream, and you want the movie to really become reality. Yes, and right now you are so close to being successful, and hopefully this movie will be longer than 15 minutes or whatever in 1990s, which they stop the movie in
time, you know, with 2 days left of filming. Yes,
and it was very serious, and we maybe we'll have time today to talk about this, why this happened, with so amazing actors being already part of the movie, and you couldn't do nothing. You had millions of dollars that was put into the movie,
yes,
and you know, for legal obligation, you needed to just stop everything. And
it was stopped.
A lot of people will probably be so depressed they will never just come out of it. And I don't know. I am very optimistic, but it happened once or twice in my life that I put so much into my dream and didn't happen because not I did something wrong, because I had no saying. And I think you had no saying in the situation.
Not true. It was in that case. My grandfather, George Hodel, my birth grandfather, first of all, I was born with the name Fauna Hodel, being told that I could never change my name and one day I would inherit a lot of money. This woman who raised me would say things to me like, I could pick up the phone anytime I wanted and call your grandfather. There was always this mystery.
Oh.
And I had a birth certificate. It said, mother's name, Tamar Neas Hodel. It said, father, Negro, name withheld. I knew I was born in San Francisco. That's where I was actually born. The giveaway happened in Reno, Nevada, in a gambling casino in a ladies' lounge. But so I knew a lot, but imagine growing up and that's all you had. My name was Fauna Hodel. So fast forward real quick, I would find my birth mother by the time I was in my early 20s. I found my grandfather first. That's how I met Tony Curtis in Hawaii, but that's part of the story later. But my grandfather was so rich and powerful that I was constantly sending notes thinking, oh my God, he's rich and powerful. One day I'm going to inherit a lot of money. Yeah. Who are these people? And little did I know, I was sending breadcrumbs to a diabolical being who was accused of killing Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia. So it just
And that's amazing.
Gets weirder
also,
and
your
weirder.
Story is so amazing, because when I read interview with Ian, he just mentioned of course Black Dahlia. There was
crazy.
You know, he was also very I don't know, deeply, find the English words,
Stephanie.
No, he, you know, this story affected? Was very affected. It affected him. Thank you. That's why I need my friends. Thank you. I
Human
you.
Dictionary.
Okay, we can also ask my Italian friend to do in Italian what I want to say. Affected. What will be in Italian word affected by story?
Affected. Condizionato.
Condizionato.
I think.
In Polish. In Polish, very similar, you know. Conditioning will be in English. I don't know. We have so many languages. And we have, before we come back, we have Julia. Hi, Julia. Can you come closer to the microphone? Julia Gale, you know, she's a little bit late, but she's here with us. Give us your great English accent.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Accent On.
And honestly, she speaks like that. I just love her. I just love her. This is another very unusual lady. We'll give her a tiny little bit time. She was my guest before, but, you know, she knows Fauna very well, and we all start being very good friends. And we'll see if we can shake a little bit this good world, and maybe we'll create all of us something unusual. I have some dream to put very good show and choose some nice charity and just raise money, and will be something about abusive relationship, abusive children, abused children. And we all have some stories that we can say, and then you know, we'll see if this will happen. And I believe before end of the year, probably we can create something together. Fauna, you wrote a book.
Yes.
How old you were when you started writing your book?
Well, when I was 8, I vowed I was going to make a movie. In my teens, I was always writing poems, thoughts, feelings. By the time I was living in Hawaii in my 20s, I was selling art. I sold art for years and years and years.
I'm so sorry, because I think we have Ian.
Oh, good.
We have,
good.
Oh my gosh, good. We have art. Ian. I just love it.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Ian. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, sunshine.
Well, sunshine not yet, but good morning, darling.
Okay, darling, you darling too. I know that you are an American, you are straight from Hollywood, but I'm sure after being so many years in Paris, you got some French accent for us. Can you say like je t'aime, mon amour, or something like that? Can you say something in French that is like nice and sweet and warm and very Frenchy?
Oh, fuck. Oh, excuse my French. Moi, non, c'est très tard en France, c'est très tard en France, mais je vous aime beaucoup.
C'est
bien
it.
Ici.
I love it. I don't know. I heard the word alcohol there. There was only one word I understood. Was this word alcohol there? I don't think so.
No, that wasn't the word.
That was so cute. I love you. Did you say something?
I wanted to ask Fauna, how did your grandmother speak to you from the casket?
Well,
oh, I love it that you got this.
I was sitting there at her funeral. I'm only 5 years old, and everybody's crying. And all of a sudden, I just heard my grandmother's voice, and she told me that she wasn't dead. She was just away, and she'd always be with me. And I have hundreds of stories from thereafter, but yes, I just heard her speaking to me.
Ian, you both will be friends forever. I know you a little bit. I know of you, and I read, you know, wonderful interview. Tina Hall did great interview with you, and I just learned more and more about you. And we had a really nice interview a few weeks ago. You'll be always my guest, favorite guest, and we'll be talking about deeper and deeper situation. We all have our unusual life story. Yours is very, very unusual. Can you just give us two or three on the lines? Tell me your tiny childhood story. Can you do this? You were born in what town?
I was born in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And it was in Long Beach, actually, yeah.
And please, if you can fast forward, you can give us a little bit how unusual your childhood was. How much you can tell us, we will appreciate
Okay, well, my mom, she always has love affairs on the side. I was born into a traveling carnival, and my father had a shooting gallery with a truck. We used to use real bullets, and he would joke around that I was first prize, but they would lock me in the, it was very small quarters. and they would lock me inside when they wanted, you know, time alone, or my mom was running off somewhere and my father was trying to track her down. And that was kind of difficult for me. And when I was 4 years old, they divorced, and my mom married she's been married like 7 times now. And each time she would always have boyfriends that I would have to lie to on the phone to help her get away with her other dates. And I used to get punished for telling the truth. And so in my book, Private Parts, I dared tell the entire truth. And that's something that has now come between me and my family. But I feel that Fauna has also told the truth, which takes a lot of guts.
Yes, and you know what I love about both of you, you are maybe a darker man. You are, you still have your demons, which in you are still fighting the world in an unusual way. I know you very little, but I am a woman. I have intuition. I really feel that you have a lot of still to learn about yourself and just overcome your issues or troubles, or just, you know, go to this point that your childhood was pretty, you're just abused child, and me and you will be working on very unusual project. You know, I'm working with child health organization, you know, and I'm trying to devote my life to help children who were abused, to just, you know, make people be aware about before even starts these things happening. You know, mostly child abuse happens in the families. Nobody knows. It's behind the doors. We don't know. Sometimes right. We hear only unhappy child. We hear the screaming. We don't want to know what is going on in somebody else's life. But, you know, we have a power. And talking about child abuse is very, very important. And I think people like you, which, again, you are a wonderful, very unusual, dark man. And talking to Fauna, who just when you meet her, she's just the
Well, I don't feel I'm a dark man. I feel like I'm honest.
Okay.
And I feel like that you're honest.
Yes.
And Fauna is honest.
Yes.
And we need to speak out for the children, because
yes.
We were once those children.
Yes. Yes, and I know that this is just the beginning of our friendships, and, you know, we will be intertwining our roads of creativity, and we'll create something really, really special. But right now, what really, really made me exciting to put you on the phone, and thank you that you really are calling again from Paris. It's middle of the night.
Well, I promised.
I know, and I love you for that. But you know what? When I met Fauna, and she was saying that her grandfather was accused about, can you pick up
right.
Black Dahlia's story?
Right, absolutely. Imagine I go and meet my birth grandmother. I'm not, actually, I did meet my birth grandmother before I met my birth mother, and she alluded to there were secrets and mysteries about my mother, and maybe I shouldn't meet her. And then a year or so later, I actually met my birth mother, and she would tell me not only was I not black, but that was a story she had made up, but I know.
I can't imagine what it was like for you.
I know. We need to read her book. I had no chance yet to read the book.
I know. I tell my story with a lot of humor, and I'm clear that all things happen for a reason, but... And I thought I was going to go find Doris Day, not, you know, so when I met when I met my birth mother in Hawaii, I met my brothers, Peace, Love, and Joy, and a sister with the same name, Fauna, who really is part black. But anyway, the whole energy.
It's just crazy, but we are
back
coming
to
back
the Black Dahlia. No, I'm there.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yeah.
So when I meet my birth mother, not only does she tell me about the incest trial and the giveaway and why she gave me away, she proceeds to tell me that her father was investigated in the Black Dahlia. So right about this time is when I was calling my lover on the phone going, you know, fly to Hawaii, get me out of here. But anyway, it was, imagine. And I had just seen a story about the Black Dahlia that Lucille Ball's daughter had been in, Lucy Arnaz, back in the day. That would have been, I met my birth mom in the 70s. So, pretty intense stuff.
And then when I read, you know, Tina's interview with you, I see Black Dahlia, you know, and you also mentioned the story. And then, of course, the main story is that you have a documentary about Tony Curtis and Fauna.
Yeah.
You had a very good, you know, story about how you met Tony.
Well, I actually ended up falling in love with Hawaii. Who wouldn't? Imagine going from Reno, Nevada to Lanikai, you know, there in Hawaii, and vowed one day I'd live there. So a few years later, after my mother that raised me died, I ended up moving to Hawaii and started selling art. I got a job in a huge art gallery there, and Tony Curtis was one of the artists that was represented, and he and I became good friends. I sold a lot of his artwork. I was at his home many times. He's been in my home. Just, yeah, we have a long history with him.
You both can meet. You'll be here, I think, Ian, yes, around October.
I love Tony, and he loved art. That was his whole life from his childhood.
Totally. I sold little shoe boxes filled with his favorite things for $25,000 just to start. I mean, I took many clients over his home, and
to all our listeners, please don't throw out boxes, shoe boxes. You need to keep them and start filling with your life little tchotchkes or very important things, because $25,000 is a lot of money even now.
I cannot.
Ian, I hope you have a few shoe boxes in France with very good names, you know. Like.
But all this talk about Hawaii and Jonathan makes me think of tacos. I want a taco right now. Jonathan, hello. Stephanie, hello. I know you're not there, but hello.
You know, Jonathan really surprised me. He called from Maui, and I had no idea.
I was listening. I heard that.
I was so happy he's not here, you know, with me, because he sometimes is just mean husband and, you know, overwhelmed with his sense of humor. And I know you have very similar.
No, Jonathan is wonderful.
He is one. I cannot wait, Ian, that one day we'll all meet. I know, hopefully you will be here in October. Hopefully you'll be part of Big Polish Film Festival, which is international and very big in LA. And we have also Domenico Capuano, and I know that you have a lot of projects going on, and I hope one day he will just give you this big sound of, you know, John Williams sound under your next movie, whatever the movie will be. And we all will live happy ever after with a lot of shoeboxes and with our wonderful, you know, memories, and we'll be rich and famous ever. Okay.
I love you, Ilona.
I love you, Ian. And I know Ian, Tina told me that you have a book coming out, or you already released your book. Can you tell us a little?
Yeah, Private Parts. It says too much. And anyways, I wanted to ask, so Fauna, how did you meet Tony? You started the gallery and then you met him, or
no,
you started it after you met him?
No, it wasn't my gallery. I was working at a big gallery there that had several galleries all throughout the island and state. And Tony Curtis was one of the artists that they represented, Anthony Quinn, Red Skelton. Uh-huh. We sold Chagall's, Picasso.
Oh, Anthony Quinn, I met him too. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, me too. But Tony, we became friends. I mean, he's so charismatic, and I won't tell you all the stories behind everything else, but we'll talk about that later.
Not maybe now, but I really think, okay, Ian, that's what is cool. She has a lot of good stories that I think, what is the difference between your documentaries and somebody else, that you are different. Your point of view is a little private, but really it's like, I don't want to call this gossip, but the people are really talking about these big stars in a different way that we are used to. And I think Fauna can give you a few stories like that.
He was a good, he's a good guy. We know that he was a good guy.
Yes, beautiful man.
Yeah.
I was so happy to hear that my record promoter, Harry Towers, he's in New York, and he just wrote me, he said, "That was my first love, Ilona. Until this day, I love him dearly." And I wrote him, you know, under mine too, because really, I love this, his look, and I love everything about Tony. I love the old movies, and old Hollywood is something that I miss dearly, you know. And we are so close to, you know, we are in LA right now, and we are missing you, Ian. Ian, I think I will let you go sleep. I will let you sleep for 1 or 2 hours. Promise that we'll be having another hour with you, and we'll be just picking the topic, because you are more than I can say in 1 hour. I would like to talk about your poems, okay? I would like to talk about whatever you feel like talking about. Because I think Accent On is a different radio show. We just don't script our conversation. We just are enjoying a time together, and hopefully making friends all around the world, and yeah, being accented community, that's what I'm dreaming about.
Well, I'm going to listen to more of the show, because I really feel a lot of compassion for Fauna, and I love the show. It's a great show.
I look forward to meeting you. Hurry back.
I love you again.
I'll be out there in the autumn. Okay, take care. Lots of love.
We love you. See you. Say bye. Hi to Eiffel Tower from
bye.
Us. And we love you again. Okay. A little bit more serious. Right. We have a very good promo or commercial for Child Help. I think it's very important to listen that big movie stars are really caring about this topic. And we have Betty White and a lot of voices that we know giving us, yeah, they
don't give up.
You can do it.
Don't give up hope. Think of the kids.
It's over.
I've never.
We're down by 50.
50?
But we're only 2 minutes left.
Huh?
Oh, Norm.
You're going down. Down.
Oh, that does it. You, you're in.
Finally.
A case of abuse is reported every 10 seconds. While you were watching this video, 3 cases of abuse, including sexual and physical, were reported. Visit childhelp.org to learn more. And in the meantime, please send in whatever you can.
Use your voice.
Or text a $10 donation now. Send the word CHLP to the number 20222.
Get in the game. Fight abuse. 5 children die every day.
You got the love. Love and hope can change the world.
Childhelp.org. Okay, Stephanie.
Stephanie,
I love you. She's my everything. She's my right hand, left hand. She's sometimes my brain.
Sometimes her foot.
Yes, my foot. I really, and sometimes she's my English perfection. She just, I'm just trying to always form some thoughts, and she just makes them happen. I just love her. I cannot live without her. And thank you so much for being here. And I know you a little bit, bringing your outlook for what is word like in your own head, and is little comedic always. Comedic, that's English.
Comedic.
Okay, what do you want to talk to us about today?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure you've heard this, Alona, all the time. Everybody, you too, Fauna, everyone in my generation, everyone always calls us entitled, like we expect
silver
everything.
Spoon,
yes, exactly. That's what anyone ever says. We're all wimps. No one can handle the real world. No one can handle it. You know, when we show up to our job, we expect a pat on the back and a cookie just for getting there on time. And they all blame it on the fact that everybody got a trophy growing up. You know, everyone got a trophy for showing up to soccer. You got a trophy for showing up to swim team. And I will admit, that happened to me. I got the trophy. But no one ever talks about how it affected those of us who actually deserved the trophy.
Oh.
I won the swim meet. I won the soccer game.
Oh, you want
and
to
my trophy
difference?
Exactly was the same size as everybody else's.
That's not fair.
It's not fair. It's
no,
not fair at all.
We need to and do it, movement and against the same trophy, Lou.
Thank you.
A real trophy and pretentious trophy.
Exactly.
Or hopeful trophy. Or just mother looks good trophy. Or daddy's a rich trophy. Or just we want to pick up the child who is just annoying and make him feel better trophy.
Yes, we need to drop kick the bad children and give trophies
children.
To the good ones.
Okay.
The real thing
I
is...
I agree with you.
And so everyone always talks about how those kids are affected, you know, the entitled ones. It's because they got the trophy. But I am entirely crazy now. Because my trophy was the same size as everybody else's, and I deserved a bigger one. Now I compete in my mind with everybody. I'm at Whole Foods,
okay,
and I have to reach the cashier before the girl next to me.
That you are like super
in my brain, and I'm giving her dirty looks, and I'm walking really fast, and my flip-flops are flapping, and my Toms and my shopping cart are falling out, and
anxiety
I don't even care.
Attack, baby.
I have to get there before her, and if heaven forbid, she gets there before me.
Yes, you lost.
I am huffing and puffing and seething silently, of course. I would never. I don't like confrontation.
My gosh, I'm like so afraid of you right now. When you are in front of me.
You best not get in the elevator first, Alana. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, what else?
And, you know, I do it at the gym. The girl next to me, I have to go, you know, like 1 point faster than her on the treadmill. I gotta run faster, and it's literally exhausting.
You want your
because
prize.
I'm not a
you
runner.
Want your big...
Exactly, and so I need to get the satisfaction that I wasn't given as a child from getting that teeny tiny. I still have it too, that little trophy that everyone got a bronze medal.
Everybody listens. We need to create a very nice trophy for something that we believe you. Achieve and you are the best in it. Then let's think. I know what you are the best in. You do very good job always. I don't know
Thank
if it's
you.
A good trophy for it, but for 22 years old girl who obviously has great education and yeah, you came from the family that they silver spoon you, but you are not like that. You really are working.
I had to reach the silver spoon myself. That's
yes,
how I was
that's
raised.
That's the difference. Okay. Then
I had to get it.
I think for all children who are screaming that they can do on their own and thank you mommy and daddy for easy childhood, but really things that they do right now is because they did them. She is the first, I think, lady to say you can do it. And, okay, I think you will have a lot of trophies in front of you. And
I expect them.
Okay. I like that. But you're right. If Jonathan would be here, he will just pick up this topic and because he says the same, except he has all shtick about this. And
we'll
come
sure.
back to it. It's about all these things that he was getting, everybody was getting, you are good for this, you are good for that, you are good for this. And every child needed to be great. You know, we never said somebody's bad. You need to, everybody's good, which is not true. Life is not like that. Some people are better than others in something that they do. And we need to say, That's okay. Then, okay, I'm working on the trophy for you. And one day, maybe when we know each other a little bit longer, I promise I'll create one. Maybe there will be like sweater one. Maybe there will be different.
Will it be pink
trophy.
And sparkly?
Of course. That's okay. All what you are. Pink and sparkly. And I love that about you too. And okay. Then thank you so much. And of course you will be welcome, Stephanie, to talk about another issue that you have in your head that you want to share with us. And Julia.
Hello, Noah.
Hi, the perfect English-speaking girl. I wish I have your accent.
And I wish I had yours sometimes, too.
I love the Fauna. But I Fauna, you have, when you met your real mommy, you know that your blood is also a little bit... Are you an American? Oh, you have roots from another...
I still don't know who I am.
You still don't know. I'm so sorry. What we can make, Fauna, that we all agree on? What accent you would like to come from? Pick the continent.
Actually, when I was a little girl, I would say things like y'all and honey child.
Oh, y'all, then you think you're Alabama or you're like some like Texas. What are you? Then, okay.
Well, my black mom was from Mississippi, and it was actually a well-educated black man who said to me, no, you don't say police, you say police. I mean, imagine, he corrected me and wherever we went. So, and he said, I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're blue, you're beautiful.
I like that. But yeah, you can pick the continent. That's good part of your life, that you can just decide who you were in your mind and you act like that.
I'm me. I'm a grand queen. Uh-oh. I am moving into my estate soon.
Oh, yes.
You'll all come over for wine.
Yeah, and your dream. Because,
food.
Before we have Julia, I would like to talk about her new passion about, you know, helping animals, I think, is very
cool. I'm dressed all in purple today because it's Animal Abuse Awareness Week. Wear purple. So here I am in that color today.
And you just got your puppy, your puppy doggy, and we don't know how old he is, but obviously acts like he's a puppy dog, which
Yeah, the most amazing thing, I went out to a shelter. I was very touched by life's anxieties and problems, and it was a kind of a gift from God, that Faith and I joined together. And I had no idea at that point that I would be so touched by animal advocacy work. But when I just developed this extraordinary close relationship with my dog, that I realized that how important it is for people to stand up for animals, for their voice, in the same way as we have to stand up for children.
Absolutely.
And be there.
Absolutely. And you are
help.
So right. I know you very, very well, I think. You are my friend. And I know you had lot of problems. Like past year wasn't easy for you, and I know you were really almost depressed. You really needed to overcome lots of stuff in your life, and you know.
But I'm a better person for it. That's the thing. And life, as I'm sure Fauna really understands it, if life sucks you some punches and you raise above it, you become such a stronger and developed person, and you can empathize totally with other people, Fauna, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but you chose, I don't know why did you choose and went to pick up the dog, you know, but you told me that was the best decision of your life. Then I think that's my message right now, and yours probably too, for everybody who listens. Then you sometimes can get the pill, you know, and you feel better. But or you can sometimes go to the place and pick up the tiny dog, you know, or kitty cat, or any animal that will make you happy, which animals are waiting there for you, you know, nobody wants them, and they will change your life forever. I have two dogs, you know, like everybody heard that Jonathan is just in love with one. The another one is the dependable one, he's a, you know, schnauzer, and we love him. He's 13 years old dog, but you know, every dog brings something else to your life, and trust me, nothing makes you feel good like dog at morning. You wake up, you don't even know where is coffee, and the dog is all over you. And Mimo, who was living with us for 3 months from the moment when he left Italy and become right now a very known composer in Los Angeles, and now he has his own apartment, but yeah, he just came and he fell in love with Porsche too, and Porsche just, he was lonely, he's still lonely, he's alone, you know, his whole family in Italy, but Porsche gave you, I think, lots of warm. You didn't need girlfriend for 3 months. You had a Porsche.
It's true.
You shared Porsche with Jonathan.
Yeah. When Jonathan was busy.
And I know, you know, whenever you are not here, my Porsche is going to your room when you had your studio and slept. And she just every night is there.
Still now?
Yes, she comes and smells every night. She smells, no. Walks around every corner, you know. And you know, what
that's
can I say?
Kid.
God, thank you. Every week I see you and Porsche sees you, and she knows you are here.
I love
for
her. But also Max. Also Max.
Why do you like my Max Schnauzer?
No, I like him. But the character is a little bit different. Yes. He's a stronger, you know.
Serious dog.
I don't know if in English there is authoritarian.
Oh, he has the authoritarian.
Yes. You know, this
dependable
position.
I call him the dependable dog. You can
like
depend
him.
On him.
Anyway, it's sweet.
Yeah, very sweet dog. Yeah, then what we are saying, you never know what you get, because nobody knows what dog would be like when it comes to your life. But trust me, it will change your life.
I saw a picture today of a little child, a very, very poor child in India, holding a very bedraggled looking dog, and this child was so happy. It was probably a homeless child, and she had this dog in her arms, and so much joy was radiating from her eyes. And I just could totally relate to that. Fauna, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you, what is it for you that really makes you feel good in your life?
It's pursuing my dream. I just know that I'm project oriented. I'm a storyteller. Mm-hmm. My goal is to get people to go to faunahodel.biz.
Yes, I'm looking at the watch, but please, can you give us some links to your website, title of the movie, whatever you would like people to know about you. Yes,
thank
and your
you.
Special Facebook page.
But my vision is my story. I really love inspiring people, because so many of us from all walks of life come from abusive situations, financial situations, just on and on and on, and I feel there's always a way to move through it. And so my story for me is, how can I use it for great good? My first book, which I have a writing partner, Rick Riamonte, is my first 25 years, and it's what gives me the right to talk about the color of love and overcoming obstacles. And you can find out about the book at faunahodel.com or go to faunahodel.biz, which we haven't touched upon, the whole charity aspect.
You will be back, Fauna.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, because that's what I really love. I know we want to create some good event. And yeah, maybe, okay, you have the charity. You are the big lady in Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce. We have Beverly Hills Housewife, but you know, some of these housewives are doing great job for community and are really great ladies. Can you explain us?
Well, it's pretty amazing, considering when I was a little girl that I sold fried chicken dinners to raise money for churches. And now I've attended hundreds of galas, John Wayne Cancer Society, Operation Smile, on and on and on, of people who are truly out there making a powerful difference. So from that experience, because working for Celebrity Society Magazine, a 41-year-old magazine all about philanthropy in Beverly Hills, I sort of got put in the middle of all of that, and I'm now involved with the Beverly Hills Chamber
Give
of Commerce.
Give me your title. Title is important.
I'm an ambassador, one of the ambassadors at the Beverly Hills Chamber, because I've been known for being out in the community and going to all those events. But what I have taken from that, I started my own show, Fawnish Charity Sizzle Report, on the Amazing Women of Power Talk Radio, and I actually interview people who are out there making a difference. I just interviewed Bruno Serrato, 2011 CNN Top 10 Hero of the Year. Imagine, this man feeds over 300 children a night that wouldn't be fed from his five-star restaurant, the Anaheim White House.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, I mean, so, and I've interviewed, my interview tomorrow morning is a woman from Get Lit, Diane Lane, and Timothy Robbins. What's her name? Marin.
It's okay. You just give us your link.
Helen Marin. You know, there are people who are out there working on huge projects that are making a difference in children's lives. So many good people doing good things. So for me, I wanted to become the voice of charity. After everything I've been through, you know, my story is all wonderful, but who I am, I still don't have a lot of money, but soon I'll be super rich.
Of course,
rich in spirit, rich in heart.
Yes, but I needed to make a difference here and right now. So for
you want to use your future
show,
money that you'll be
having.
Yes,
so money, come to me now. It means so I can give to those charities.
Oh,
but how
you.
I'm giving is through telling their stories and pointing people to their websites to make a difference. So that's on awoptalk247.com, Amazing Women of Power Talk Radio, and I'm really loving that.
Then if people go to one link to find out more about you, will be Facebook is the coolest,
well,
yes?
Facebook is the coolest, but Fauna Hodel, FAUNAHODEL.biz. I have some of my interviews on there. I have my book site that says a little bit about me, so
that's
there you go.
Fauna, you promise you will be back?
Absolutely. This has
been
so much fun.
So much fun. And yes, and Ian, we love you. Say hi again to everything what you love in your life in Paris. And come back to Los Angeles. Old Hollywood and young Hollywood misses you so much. And I know you are working on a Marilyn Monroe movie. And there's so many plans we have, you know, and we never even met in person. That's what is the coolest things.
Wow.
Thank you, Fauna, very much.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Stephanie, my English brain. Thank you. Thank you, Domenico, my
Hi.
Italian heart.
Hi.
And the very, very
Ciao.
Talented guy. Ciao. And maybe we'll
Ciao
finish. Jonathan, we love you, Jonathan. Tat in Maui, Ilona, Europa, hard in Poland and in America with funky accent, Polish-American accent. And maybe sun is going down in L.A. And this is the song that Ilona Europa and Don Capuano co-wrote together. Then we'll say bye to everybody with this song. Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.